Last month we considered how fearfully and wonderfully we were made on the basis of our amazing brain. We saw how the brain can kick into survival mode when a person is on the brink of freezing to death. And then we saw how the brain can block pain when this girl fell off a cliff and severely injured herself, but she was able to see to her immediate needs because her brain blocked the pain until she was able to get help. This morning, we continue the series of the amazing human body by looking into our eyes. You know, your eyes are the most complex organs you have except for your brain, and are composed of more than 2 million working parts, just a few that are on this slide. Without any conscious effort on your part, your eyes automatically clean themselves by blinking about 10,000 times a day. Hamsters often blink one eye at a time. Amazingly, your eyes begin to develop just 2 weeks after conception, and eventually measure to be about 1 inch in diameter. The largest eyeball on the planet is 18 inches wide. It's not yours, it belongs to the giant squid, if you can imagine. The ostrich has eyes that are larger than its brain. The eyeballs go way into the head, not leaving much room for a tiny brain. And that would explain a few things. Having two eyes for us is an added complication because the brain has to point both of them accurately enough so that the object of regard, whatever it is you're looking at, can correspond to the points of the two retinas. Otherwise, we'd get double vision all the time. So there's a lot of coordination going on with the brain and your eyes. And for humans to see while moving, the brain must compensate for the motion of the head by automatically turning the eyeballs. About half of your brain is involved in the looking process. We depend on our eyes every day, and we appreciate beauty. Humans are very visual creatures, and so are a lot of other creatures. Your eyes contribute to 85% of your total knowledge, it's been calculated. But the question is, where does this knowledge take us? For instance, only a fool would take a look at a jumbo jet and say that it could come about by a tornado blowing through a junkyard that contained a bunch of jet parts. Anyone can tell by looking that this jet had some designers and engineers and builders. Nobody disputes that. And yet, many people use their eyes in a different way when looking at nature. Many people believe that the universe came about by pure chance. But not David. When David looked up at the sky, he was moved to write, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Lord," in another spot, "Lord, open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things." So let us open our eyes and take a look at a camera. Did a camera evolve because of the need of people to take photos? No. The camera was invented by intelligent people so that we could take photos. The human eye and the man-made camera both use the same technology. They allow light in, they focus it with a lens, and it gets projected so that we can see an image. And this is all understood. If people readily believe that a camera is created by a designer, like George Eastman, then why is it so hard to believe that there was a creator for the human eye? Because people see what they want to see. Some do anyway. If they want to see a creator in nature, it's easy to find evidence. If, however, they refuse to see a wise designer, then they can somehow make evolution work for themselves. And as for us, what exactly do we see when we see? What do we see in each other? In our moments of weakness, we see what we want to see. Let's face it. If you want to see the bad in somebody, there's plenty there. There's plenty there to find. But if you look at your fellow Christian through the filter of Christ, you'll see something else. You'll see a blood-bought child of God. From the youngest freshman in here to the oldest prof, each of us is a blood-bought child of God. And this filter is further described by the Apostle Paul. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let's go off on a tangent here and look at somebody who used his eyes. A guy by the name of Carl Linnaeus. You ever heard of him? He lived around 250 years ago. He was a biologist from Sweden who viewed nature with a sense of wonder. His dad was a Lutheran minister in Sweden and an avid gardener. And although Carl didn't follow in his father's footsteps, his religious background led him to appreciate our Creator in the plants and animals he observed. His story goes something like this. One time he was in the garden, a little young guy, and he was observing a bee. As the bee sipped nectar from one flower, some pollen stuck to his abdomen and hairy legs. Maybe you can see that. And then the bee flew off to a new flower, and some of the pollen fell off. And this amazed Carl. The more he watched, the more he learned that this was no klutzy accident, but bees help lots of plants pollinate. Carl was convinced he was witnessing a wise design in action. He noticed that a lot of bees really carry loads of pollen. And then from then on, Carl looked at nature from the perspective of trying to find wisdom and order from a supreme creator. He said, "Since God has created the world, it is possible to understand God's wisdom by studying His creation." Carl went on to classify all the plants and animals known in his day, giving them names in the categories of kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Yeah, he was the guy that did that. He's kind of meticulous about organizing everything that he saw. And for this, he was nicknamed the Second Adam. This is how Carl used his eyes, by looking at the wisdom in God's design. And I would encourage you to look at creation in the same way. Travel the world. See the sights. And if you can't travel the world, then admire the beauty in your own backyard. Or right here on campus. There's a lot to notice and a lot to appreciate. And while you're at it, make every attempt to notice the beauty within those you come into contact with every day. The beauty within all of those that you see every day. There is plenty of bad that you could dwell on in all of us. But use the filter of Christ. After all, that's exactly what our Father does when He looks down upon you. When God, our Heavenly Father, looks at you, He sees a blood-bought Christian. He sees the righteousness of Christ around you like a soft robe. He even calls you the apple of His eye. In this psalm, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings." I had you get supplements today because most of us need to see the notes on this. We're going to sing the psalm that goes with this verse. It's in the four part of your supplement on page 42.